Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this: talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, from battle bears to bubbling bathhouses. And today, we're covering the Ancestral Guardian and Wild Magic Barbarian. Prepare yourselves. Hey Brian.
Hey Will.
How you doing today?
I'm enraged.
You're enraged. Oh, no. So yes, we're doing another class episode today. It's been a while since we covered anything barbarian related.
Yeah.
Like a very long time.
Yeah.
There's so many classes and there's so many subclasses, it's hard to get through them all.
Well, right. Like I've been playing this game for years now, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface on characters I've actually played.
Right. Right.
You know, in terms of a different, I've picked something different every time.
Yeah.
And there's so many options.
There are.
And it takes a really long time to play a campaign.
It does. If you're playing like a long-term one, not a one shot.
I mean, a minimum it can take, if you're playing a campaign, minimum it can take a few months. So.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually it take a year.
Yes. Or
maybe more.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get back to barbarians. So today we're talking about two types of barbarians. For a quick recap though, in D&D, a barbarian is a martial character who specializes in entering a state of extraordinary strength, endurance, and ferocity on the battlefield known as their rage. Now, canonically, this rage is a de facto emotional state of anger with a supernatural twist and extremity. The anger felt by a normal person resembles the rage of a barbarian in the same way that a gentle breeze is akin to a furious thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The barbarian's driving force comes from a place that transcends mere emotion, making its manifestation all the more terrible. Whether the impetus for the fury comes entirely from within or from forging a link with a spirit animal, a raging barbarian becomes able to perform supernatural feats of strength and endurance. The outburst is temporary, but while it lasts, it takes over body and mind, driving the barbarian on despite peril and injury until the last enemy falls. So very Hulk-like.
My favorite thing about barbarians is reflavoring the rage.
I got a whole paragraph I wrote about that.
Yep. And it's so easy to do.
It is.
Sure, we'll get into it.
So now, as cool as this is, I tend to prefer to reflavor rage whenever I play a barbarian myself. I've always just found it odd to have a mechanic tied so intrinsically to the emotion of anger.
Yeah.
Anger is often a terrible and destructive emotion, and though I'm a big fan of the Hulk as a character, he does fall into the trap of being a one-dimensional rage monster, which can be non-compelling at times.
I watch a lot of Marvel content, especially the stuff made for kids, because I have a little kid that's into superheroes at home, and... Yeah. They play on that a lot with the Hulk.
Right.
They're like, almost every episode that they do involving the Hulk is like, Hulk, you have to learn not to fucking destroy everything. This is a kid's show.
I like that. That's funny.
And he's like, okay, Hulk will find something else to do, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying, but I'm Hulk.
I think there's one time a boulder falls and he's like, I know what to do.
Okay.
And it's like, Hulk, now's the time. And he's like, yeah, I'm on it. And he punches the shit out of it. And
they're
like, good job, Hulk.
So personally, I think the coolest thing about the barbarian as a class isn't the idea of rage as a I just lose all control and unleash hell mechanic. Although it can be that, and that can be fun. But what the rage mechanic represents on a mechanical level. There is something super dope about a character that can unlock this higher state of power.
Mm-hmm.
An oh shit, things just got real, let me take off this weighted armor and show them what I can really do mode.
Mm-hmm.
I just think rage being a strictly I get real mad mechanic is kind of dumb. It can be a zen mode of cold calculating detachment, making a fighter deadlier than ever. It can be an inner power outside of the character's control that ignites in life and death situations as a defense mechanism. It could be going Super Saiyan. It could be a magical girl transformation a la Sailor Moon. All I'm saying is barbarians are really cool, but maybe not for the most obvious reasons. Anyways, let's get into the subclasses, starting with Ancestral Guardian.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about our character builds and how we reflavor the rage for them.
Yeah,
that's gonna be the best part of the episode, I think.
So, Some barbarians hail from cultures that revere their ancestors. These tribes teach that the warriors of the past linger in the world as mighty spirits who can guide and protect the living. When a barbarian who follows this path rages, the barbarian contacts the spirit world and calls on these guardian spirits for aid. Barbarians who draw on their ancestral guardians can better fight to protect their tribes and their allies. In order to cement ties to their ancestral guardians, barbarians who follow this path cover themselves in elaborate tattoos that celebrate their ancestors' deeds. These tattoos tell sagas of victories against terrible monsters and other fearsome rivals. So, if you take the ancestral guardian path, you gain this feature at level 3, Ancestral Protectors. Spectral warriors appear when you enter a rage. While you're raging, the first creature you hit with an attack on your turn becomes the target of the warriors, which hinders its attacks. Until the start of your next turn, the target has disadvantage on any attack roll that isn't against you. When the target hits a creature other than you with an attack, that creature has resistance to damage dealt by the attack. The effect on the target ends early if your rage ends. I forgot how much I love this subclass.
It's so good. Because
it turns the barbarian from what you would think as like a DPS attacker into an aggro drawing tank.
And it turns every other player, and you'll see it the more we talk about it, yeah. But like especially with the next feature, it turns everybody else basically into, defensively speaking, barbarians. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, pretty much because, like, when you have your rage on, you're taking half damage. You're
defensively, yeah.
You're taking, if it's not magical, basically, if it's, like, bludgeoning damage.
Yeah, you have resistance. Damage,
you resist it.
Yeah.
So this is making other people that get hit by this one target, resistant to that.
Yeah, but that's what I meant by, it reminds me of the Defenders from 4th edition, where it's like, no, you focus on me, and if you try and focus on anyone else, you pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what this is. So there's a lot of that with, like, the pole arm and, like,
Sentinel feature.
Sentinel is one that does that. The spell command, right? Like
command kind of does that. Yeah,
I like how when they are building classes, they kind of bake a spell into one of the abilities.
Thinking of
compelled duel. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So like they take a pretty okay. It can be a situational thing, but like a spell with some utility and kind of bake it into a class feature in a way.
Yeah.
I think that's a really smart thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. So at 6th level, you get a feature called Spirit Shield. The guardian spirits that aid you can provide supernatural protection to those you defend. If you are raging and another creature you can see within 30 feet of you takes damage, you can use a reaction to reduce that damage by 2d6. When you reach certain levels in this class, you can reduce the damage by more. 3d6 at level 10 and 4d6 at level 14. So this stacks onto the already resistance. You know what I mean? You just make it so like, no, yeah. You have to attack me.
Right,
and
right.
That's fucking cool.
And I'll tell you, when you're fighting like mob creatures, this is basically going to nullify, you're going to protect the shit out of one person.
Right.
Like you're using that reaction and these D6, especially up at like level 10, 3D6 against like mob creatures, that's going to pretty much take care of it. I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least a good chunk of it.
A big chunk. Yeah.
So at level 10, you get a feature called Consult the Spirits. You gain the ability to consult your ancestral spirits. When you do so, you cast the Augury or Clairvoyance spell without using a spell slot or material components. Rather than creating a spherical sensor, this use of clairvoyance invisibly summons one of your ancestral spirits to the chosen location. Wisdom is your spellcasting ability for these spells. After you cast either spell in this way, you can't use this feature again until you finish a short or long rest. Now, this is a very fun feature.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very potent for a level 10 feature. But it's strictly utility and it's strictly flavor, but it is really cool and I like it a lot.
Well, you get two spells basically.
So yeah.
That, and they're very good, especially when you have, like, this is kind of a cool feature for a barbarian who's not very like
no
investigative
utility.
Yeah. Or anything like that. Yeah. Not really high on the intelligence spectrum, typically speaking.
Right.
This is going to level the playing field there because you can have a fucking ghost just tell you what to do.
That's true. But it's a fun way to look at it because, like, yeah, the barbarian is martially focused.
Yeah.
You do good in battle. It's what you do.
Yeah.
Here's a fun thing you can do out of battle now, too.
Yes, and it is cool, like, when you have something that is like, what are we going to do about this? How are we supposed to make this decision?
Mm-hmm.
You can summon your ancestors.
Yeah, talk to the ancients. See if there's any wisdom to be gained.
They can literally go look around for stuff or whatever.
Can they? Can they go walk around?
What is it? Augury and clairvoyance?
Augury is like when you get an answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with clairvoyance.
Clairvoyance is to help you determine like a course of action is going to be successful or not.
That's augury.
Oh, that's Augury.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll look up clairvoyance and Augury.
Yeah. Actually, I remember Augury specifically right because of my my necromancer I built. That I couldn't give him Augury.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
So I found a way to give him Augury.
We'll read both those spells at the end of Will's detail.
You look that up. You get one last feature for the Ancestral Guardian at level 14. It's called Vengeful Ancestors. Your ancestral spirits grow powerful enough to retaliate. When you use your spirit shield to reduce the damage of an attack, the attacker takes an amount of force damage equal to the damage that your spirit shield prevents. So it's like even more punishment.
Yeah.
So very cool. See, these features are very cool, and I love running characters like this. Defender was my favorite role in 4E to roll. I will say there's a double-edged sword to this, though, because if your dungeon master doesn't like push against these features at all, and it just focuses on you, it's like, well, that is the end goal, so that's cool. But you never really also get the fun punch of, like, someone going against your ancestors in this case and actually getting punished for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think roleplay is really important because when you rage as a barbarian, it's supposed to be terrifying to your enemies. You're supposed to incite some sort of...
Sure.
Not magical fear, which is going to make your opponent do certain things, but a lot of enemies will try to run.
Mm-hmm.
And if they try to run and like attack, like, maybe I'm a little weaker and like you came up on me, I'm going to go try to attack another guy and I'll live.
Mm-hmm.
And then my big guy can handle your big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if they try to do that, they get hella punished. I mean, they
can't.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. It's dependent on your dungeon master and like the way you just described it. Like, that's the funnest way to play this character. It's like you get to have your cake and eat it too. Like,
we found
people
really,
get punished.
Yeah.
And that's fun. And then now that they've learned, they do the thing you want them to do, which is attack you, which is fun too.
We'll touch again on that when I talk about this character build that we're going to do.
Oh, but that's the last feature for the Ancestral Garden.
So I have the spells up.
Oh, you have the spell. Yeah. Let's hear clairvoyance.
Let's talk. Okay. Well, I have Augury up, so we'll talk about that first. So it's a second level spell. It takes a minute to cast on self. It's instantaneous divination by casting gem inlaid sticks, rolling dragon bones, laying out ornate cards, or employing some other divining tool, which I imagine in this case is like something have to do with your ancestors or tattoos or whatever. You receive an omen from an otherworldly entity about the results of a specific course of action that you plan to take within the next 30 minutes. The DM chooses from the following possible omens. Wheel for good results, woe for bad results, wheel and woe for both good and bad, and nothing for results that aren't especially good or bad. The spell doesn't take into account any possible circumstances that might change the outcome, such as the casting of additional spells or the loss or gain of a companion. If you cast the spell two or more times before completing your next long rest, there's a cumulative 25% chance for each casting after the first that you get a random reading. The DM makes this roll in secret. What do you think a random reading is? What do you think it means by that? Like, if you, there's a 25% chance for each casting, you'll get a random reading. Not sure what that means.
Not sure what that means.
My player never casts, like, your barbarian's not really going to do that, I don't think, because I think this is a rest feature. You only really get to do it once. So I don't.
I'm not sure.
In this context, we're not.
I'm sure someone can explain the random reading thing to us in the context.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means.
In the comments.
So clairvoyance is a third level spell.
It takes the one I'm not familiar with.
10 minutes to cast. The range is 1 mile.
This is a big one.
Insightful. Okay. It is concentration divination magic. You create an invisible sensor within range in a location familiar to you, a place you have visited or seen before. In this instance, with the barbarian, it's going to send a spectral version of your ancestor, is what it said.
Yeah.
Or in an obvious location that is unfamiliar to you, such as behind a door, around a corner, or in a grove of trees. The sensor remains in place for the duration, and it can't be attacked or otherwise interacted with. When you cast a spell, you choose seeing or hearing. You can use the chosen sense through the sensor as if you were in its space. As your action, you can switch between seeing and hearing. A creature that can see the sensor, such as a creature benefiting from see invisibility or true sight, sees a luminous, intangible orb about the size of your fist, but in this case, it's going to see the ghost of your ancestor.
Right.
That's pretty much
it. Can you move it about, or is it stuck in its place?
You create an invisible sensor location. No, it doesn't say anything about movement.
Okay.
But you can put it, like, if you want to see beyond the door, what's in the next room?
Mm-hmm.
You can
You're sending a drone.
Yeah, it's kind of like a familiar that you like make appear.
That's
and then
cool.
You can kind of see through it.
It's funny because like when I hear the word clairvoyance, that is not what I picture. But that's cool.
Yeah. So that's what those spells do. So
all right.
Cool beans.
You ready to talk about your character?
Yeah. Well, it's not my character.
Right.
It's
I know.
Character that I DM for. So this is going to be kind of a like a little bit of a Patreon plug for us because I DM a game called Flashbang and the Surgeon, which is modified episodes of Batman the Animated Series. We turn into D&D with their own original characters, and old Batman directs them around to go do stuff inspired from episodes. So I have two players, your special guest Jake, who you might be familiar with from this show in the earlier episodes, or Super Quest Saga.
Indeed.
And then our good friend Steve, who plays a character called Brandon Bobby, a.k.a. The Surgeon, which is the superhero alias that they use. So basically I task them, make a character who is a person that lives in the world of, we picked Waterdeep as our setting, and then, you know, become a superhero. And I even told them, like, one of you has to pick a name that's like, you know, one word, and the other one is the something, because I wanted the title to have that kind of
blank in the blank.
Blank in the blank, kind of feel.
Yeah.
So they came up with Flashbang and the Surgeon. So your special guest Jake is a monk, monk slash rogue, inquisitor rogue. He kind of ended up going like more of a Batman-y route, and then Brandon Bobby is a barbarian, not very smart, not very charismatic, you know, strong and buff.
World classic.
Yeah, and went with Ancestral Guardian. And so we didn't know at the time how cool it would be to make... So I only have two players, and how important Brandon Bobby is to the operation.
And
it makes my job really easy and really difficult depending on what happens, because if they're using their features correctly, I can treat them both like barbarians.
Oh, I see what you mean. Because they resist all the damage. They can resist it.
If I knock one of them down... So I have to put out a lot of damage.
Right.
But if he gets knocked down, then my monk rogue character becomes way more squishy. Or if they're separated, you know, then the fight changes, especially with, you know, one-on-one. So Brandon Bobby is just like a normal guy who lives in Waterdeep doing construction for... It's a city on the grow. I have Waterdeep. I have Waterdeep on the rise. We're building skyscrapers. There's a dwarven guild doing a lot of the building around here. Technology is on the up. There's a guy that works for the Wayne Enterprises of this world. That
what's it called?
I called my Anders Enterprises.
Okay.
This is one of the only name swaps I really did at the beginning because I didn't want to be too on the nose. But Anders is the old Batman, so I have Bruce Wayne, like, aged, and his name is Anders. So, So Anders does a lot of the, like, mission call-outs and stuff in the beginning to help guide them. Like, finds these two individuals that happen to be friends through Brandon Bobby's grandma, Grandma Bobby.
Grandma Bobby.
The character special guest Jake plays, his name is Lucian. And is an elf that is a Sun Temple monk. And Grandma Bobby learns feng shui at the Sun Temple monk establishment. And they know each other through that.
They know each other through Grandma Bobby.
Through Grandma Bobby. And one day they're walking home together after visiting Grandma Bobby doing feng shui on her new apartment. And there's a crime and they go try to
do something about it. Yeah.
And when they get arrested eventually at the end for being vigilantes, Anders comes and said, "Hey, I see a lot of potential in you too. Come work for me."
Okay, so that's how they start being a superhero. But tell us more about Brandon Bobby specifically.
Brandon Bobby has this... The parents are out of the picture, so it's just Grandma and Brandon in the city.
Okay, all right.
And they... Grandma tells stories to Brandon about the ancestry from before times when they were a more nomadic tribe of barbarians kind of roving the countryside of Faerun. And, you know, you're very... distant ancestor did this cool thing. The first notable Bobby saved the village from blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and then this Bobby did this and this and this. And we based them off of British white guy actors, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
So the ancestors that show up when they rage are actors.
Are they? I'd say inspired. This is near me. Okay.
We go, okay, so let's talk about the rage. When Brandon Bobby rages, they wanted it to be kind of anime inspired and... sexual in nature.
Oh no.
So it's actually pretty funny.
Okay.
So Brandon Bobby wears like a jumpsuit, kind of like an old 1920s like wrestling.
Yeah, I've seen the artwork, yes.
And they also, that's like their ancestors sort of wear, their ancestral wear. And then they also took on the moniker of the Surgeon as their superhero thing. So they use hand axes and great axes. So we have a no kill rule and we call it F-bats. So we have the Batman law, which is no killing.
Right.
You can violence up as much as you want, but don't purposefully kill anybody or the game is over. okay. or you have to roll up a new guy.
You're not a murderer.
We're going to mind wipe you. Okay. So,
yeah, sure.
Batman kills lots of people. I've watched a lot of Batman the Animated Series. Batman kills lots of people, but they don't really address it, or they like fall in a tree or something from like Batman will throw a guy from hundreds of feet up in the air off of like a Zeppelin and not give a fuck. And like for some reason, this guy will just like not die and it'll be fine.
That's a superpower.
Batman is killing people, but we kind of like glance over that. Yeah. So
Batman is killing people.
Batman is killing people. Don't let him lie to you. So he uses his hand axes in a surgically precise way as to not kill.
Okay.
So we call him the surgeon.
Yes. Does he wear a surgeon mask?
He wears a surgical mask and cap and a coat.
Yes.
With the thing underneath.
With the wrestler's outfit.
The wrestler's outfit underneath.
He's a mess.
He does have wrestling powers too. He's got like special gloves.
Okay.
Cool. I've got lots of magical items on my superhero guys.
Yeah.
So we have a grappling glove like Batman would have. All this Batman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He gets younger when he rages.
What?
And looks a little more sexy and gets strong because of it.
Okay.
And says things like Sugoi and things like that.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
When these features turn on, so he's got tattoos, I think, around his nipples and on his butthole. Sorry.
No.
This is NC-17.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Hey, guys, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. Okay, go ahead. Come listen.
The tattoos glow when they rage, and the ancestors appear from the tattoos.
Uh-huh.
And the first one is...
Oh, no.
It's been a while since we've played... But Hugo Weaving Bobby.
Okay.
So it's
not really a comedian.
No, they're not comedians. They're just actors.
I thought you said comedians.
No. That'd be. So we have Hugo Weaving Bobby, and they're not all British. It's Jude Law Bobby's the first one. Jude Law Bobby is the first one that does the. This ghost will like jump around and deflect for the other character for the level 3 ability.
Mm-hmm.
Then Hugo Weaving Bobby is the one that does like similar stuff. They jump around like circus characters, like circus acrobats to go defend the other character.
Yeah.
And at first they can't talk to you, but later on you can talk to them.
Oh, okay. That's
cool. And you can hear them as things go on.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, they're just like thumbs up each other when the rage would happen. They'd only be out for like during combat in a minute, so there's no real role play.
Yeah.
Thank God I have to do all those voices. Now I have to do all the voices.
Because
they're level 10
now.
That's
a lot, yeah.
But there's Jude Law Bobby is the first ancestor.
Hugo Weaving Bobby.
And then Matthew McConaughey Bobby is where we landed. He's the one that does all the divine shit.
Oh, no.
No, he's not British, but he says, all right.
I bet he does.
Yeah, absolutely he does. So that's when the guardians start talking to the character.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a really cool place. There's two seasons of that show just in the bank and a third season that's underway.
Mm-hmm.
It's on kind of a little bit of a pause right now because we're working on other stuff. But there's a lot of show there.
There is.
And a lot of people that
end up watching it, loving it.
So yes. I'd highly recommend you guys go check it out. There's a lot of love baked into it. A lot of really funny chemistry that goes on between all of us there.
Mm-hmm.
Really good stuff. Brandon Bobby's an excellent character I've come to love very much. One of my favorites. I was like, what can follow up Spore Man? That's all I hear about.
Right.
And now I was like, Brandon Bobby could follow up Spore Man.
Definitely
if you know F-Bats, like this is a great, great character. There's a lot of fun laughs. The magic item that I have on him that's special is Ring of the Ram. I think we brought that up last time. It used like 3 charges to like break stuff pretty much.
That's pretty cool.
A spectral ram appears and smashes the fuck out of something.
Like that. That's pretty dope.
So if this character's trapped or needs to break down a door, Ring of the Ram, boom. They are a barbarian. They could just break it down. They're really strong.
You could also have the ring do it.
Yeah, we got the unarmored defense. We got like bracers of defense and stuff like that to bolster this character's AC. I think we landed at like a 16 AC with this character, an 18 or plus 4 strength. And then the intelligence is a 9, wisdom plus 1, charisma plus 0, flat at the end, 40 feet of walking speed. This character is extremely mobile, and they make my monk rogue also resist most damage. It's a very, very cool character.
Very good team combination.
Yeah. And a 2-person, I don't know who's running a 2-person setup these days.
But this is a good one.
This is a great pick for that, though.
Yeah, it really is. Anything else about Brandon Bobby?
I don't think so. I think that's it for me.
All right. Well, then I think we can get ready for a short rest. And when we come back, we'll talk about the Wild Magic Barbarian.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga, a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and Set in Space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned. We're back at it again. God damn it.
Indeed we are. And we are going to talk about a much newer subclass of the Barbarian, the Path of Wild Magic, which is a very interesting one because Barbarians, as a general rule, are kind of incompatible with magic.
Right.
Their whole thing is like, while raging, you can't cast spells kind of thing.
Yeah.
So this is, it's not really like you can cast spells. It's just like magical bullshit happens when you're mad.
Ooh.
But we'll get into it. So, many places in the multiverse are abound with beauty, intense emotion, and rampant magic. The Feywild, the Upper Planes, and other realms of supernatural power, they all radiate with such forces and that can profoundly influence people. As folk of deep feeling, barbarians are especially susceptible to these wild influences, with some barbarians being transformed by the magic itself. These magic-suffused barbarians walk the path of wild magic. Elf, Tiefling, Aesimar, and Genasi barbarians often seek this path, eager to manifest the otherworldly magic of their ancestors. This is essentially a sorcerer-style barbarian, which is pretty cool.
That is interesting. Yeah. This is kind of interesting how they're both tied to ancestry. Yeah.
So, like, we talk about not leaving your baby's place in needy.
Yeah. Because
they might turn into a sorcerer. They also might turn into a wild magic barbarian.
Generally, in the real world, don't leave your baby's places either.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Like,
I know.
In D&D,
super
something
don't.
Really bad will happen if you
yes. leave.
They'll turn babies into absolute animals.
Yeah, to monsters, to wild magic barbarians, to sorcerers. But anyways.
The sorcerer is Tasha, or the what do we call her? She's a sorceress?
Tasha's a wizard.
She's a witch. Wizard.
Tasha is a wizard. Yeah, she's Yggdrasil, like one of the most legendary right. wizards of all time. Yeah.
Well, we haven't done that episode yet, so what the fuck do I know?
Yeah.
But I did read the opener, and she was a baby that got left around.
Was she?
Yeah, okay. Got picked up by hags.
Very interesting. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, and she would learn their weird magic and a bunch of other stuff.
And then she made hideous laughter. Great. Great spell.
Yeah. Yeah.
See,
she also teamed up with Grust, so.
Yeah, bad times.
Anyways, back to the Wild Magic Path Barbarian. First feature you get along this path is called Magic Awareness. As an action, you can open your awareness to the presence of concentrated magic. Until the end of your next turn, you know the location of any spell or magical item within 60 feet of you that isn't behind total cover. When you sense a spell, you learn which school of magic it belongs to. You can use this feature a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest.
That's powerful.
You can smell magic,
basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, at level 3, you get a feature called Wild Surge, and this is kind of the big one. This is like the feature of this subclass. With Wild Surge, the magical energy roiling inside you sometimes erupts from you. When you enter your rage, roll on the wild magic table to determine the magical effect produced. If the effect requires a saving throw, the DC equals 8 plus your proficiency bonus plus your constitution modifier. So wild magic. Here we go. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different random effects that can happen every time you rage.
Shit.
So, first one. Shadowy tendrils lash around you. Each creature of your choice that you can see within 30 feet of you must succeed on a constitution saving throw or take 1d12 necrotic damage, and you gain 1d12 temporary hit points.
Nice.
Next, I don't know what to call these. Effect. Next effect is you teleport up to 30 feet to an unoccupied space you can see. Until your rage ends, you can use this effect again on each of your turns as a bonus action. Now, that's dope.
That
this
is cool.
Raging teleporting monster just poof, 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 poof.
I find it kind of strange that there is some level of control to this feature.
You learn to hone it over time, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, some of these, maybe. Hold on. Let's read the rest of them. We'll see.
So effect 3 is an intangible spirit, which looks like a flumph or a pixie, your choice, appears within 5 feet of one creature of your choice that you can see within 30 feet of you. At the end of your current turn, the spirit explodes, and each creature within 5 feet of it must succeed a dexterity saving throw or take 1d6 force damage. Until your rage ends, you can use this effect again, summoning another spirit on each of your turns as a bonus action.
So exploding fart monster or exploding glitter bomb.
Now, I think the idea here with those two is you essentially summon a spirit that looks very harmless and delicate, and when the thing gets close, it explodes on them.
Yeah.
I don't see the reason why we have to tie it to two very specific... Like, why a flump for pixie only? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
they have the best explosions.
Coughing. I just feel like it's like a cough. I was actually thinking Final Fantasy, it's like a bomb, which is a monster.
Sure.
Yeah, you don't know that monster from Final Fantasy?
So I might have saw it.
It's like a little flame ball monster with a face on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they explode. So it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, so this spirit emerges next to the thing. And they're like, huh? That looks funny.
Uh-huh.
It's got little tentacles coming out, and it's just like starts to swell.
Yes, yeah.
And it's got a strained face.
Like, wait, what's going on here? Oh, yeah.
Big fart.
Yeah.
The fairy would do the same thing. It would look really horrific. It would look like Violet like from Willy Wonka, like blowing up into a big blueberry.
Yes.
Except at the end, it explodes, and it's like, oh, God, kill me.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, it is.
And the fact that you do this every turn, you're just setting off bombs all over. This is a fun class.
Well, are these randomly assigned, or you just pick one of these?
They're randomly assigned, but assigned, you could do it every turn.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Okay.
So the assignment happens at the beginning of your rage.
I see.
So you're hoping to get lucky with the one you want, but also it seems like most of these are useful. So effect 4. Magic infuses one weapon of your choice that you are holding. Until your rage ends, the weapon's damage type changes to force, and it gains the light and thrown properties with a normal range of 20 feet and a long range of 60 feet. If the weapon leaves your hand, the weapon reappears in your hand at the end of your current turn. So you just get this magical force weapon that you can throw, it reappears, and you just can repeat.
Man, this is cool. This is not at all what I thought it was, and I'll tell you why at the end.
Okay, yeah. I'm very curious, because I think I know some of your reasoning. Effect 5. Whenever a creature hits you with an attack roll before your rage ends, that creature takes 1d6 force damage as magic lashes out in retribution. So a nice little like protection spell.
Yeah, that's cool.
Effect 6. Until your rage ends, you are surrounded by multicolored protective lights. You gain a +1 bonus to AC, and while within 10 feet of you, your allies gain the same bonus. So an even better like protective spell, if you ask me. Well, maybe not better, but different.
Well, I mean, the other thing isn't really a protective spell.
One's more a retaliation like spell. Rebuke. Yeah, it's a hellish rebuke. This one is actually a protection spell.
Yeah.
Effect 7, flowers and vines temporarily grow around you. Until your rage ends, the ground within 15 feet of you is difficult terrain for your enemies. That could be interesting in certain specific cases. And finally, effect 8, A bolt of light shoots from your chest. Another creature of your choice that you can see within 30 feet of you must succeed on a constitution saving throw or take 1d6 radiant damage and be blinded until the start of your next turn. Until your rage ends, you can use this effect again on each of your turns as a bonus action. I like all these ones where it's like, oh yeah, as a bonus action, you get to do this dope-ass thing on top of your rage attacks.
Yeah.
Like, it's great.
Plus, like, a bolt of light shoots from your chest. Sub out chest for whatever you want, baby. Why chest?
Oh, yeah,
why
that's stop true. There? Yeah, it doesn't have to be chest.
Yeah, pelvic bone, whatever.
Yeah, whatever you want. Boom. Whatever you want. So those are the two features you get at level 3. Like I said, one of them was the big one.
Fuck, that's cool. This is so cool.
It's very zany and crazy. So.
Yeah, I mean, these are all going to be useful in combat. I like the flowers and vines thing because if somebody's trying to run away from you and you happen to have that, you could chase them.
This is a class that I would like to play if I was doing a one-shot. Because it's like a fun, like, the personality of your character doesn't even matter. I mean, it always matters, but, like, it's the mechanics that are carrying you with the fun of this.
Yeah, you know, like, you let the mechanics sort of drive the personality you came up with a little bit.
So
there's going to be some chaos involved, usually.
Right. So at level 6, you get the feature called Bolstering Magic. You can harness your wild magic to bolster yourself or a companion. As an action, you touch one creature, which can be yourself, and confer one of the following benefits of your choice to that creature. There's two choices. One is, for 10 minutes, the creature can roll a d3 whenever making an attack roll or an ability check, and add the number rolled to the d20 roll. The second effect that you could choose is you could roll a d3. The creature regains one expended spell slot, the level of which equals the number rolled or lower. Once a creature receives this benefit, that creature can't receive it again until after a long rest.
Is it really a d3?
There is an actual the way I would do that if
it's a d6, right?
I would either d6 it or I would just do a d4 with 1, 2, 3, and then 4 is a reroll.
Yeah, okay.
So, or you could, yeah, you
I'd probably could do a d6,
which is 1 and 2, 1 and 2, 3 and 4.
5 and 6. Yeah.
There we go. Math.
Counting.
Numbers. you can take this action a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. At level 10, you get the feature Unstable Backlash. When you are imperiled during your rage, the magic within you can lash out. Immediately after you take damage or fail a saving throw while raging, you can use your reaction to roll on the wild magic table and immediately produce the effect roll. This effect replaces your current wild magic effect. That's cool, because you might really get an effect that really isn't working for you this battle, so this gives you a reroll on that at level 10. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's
nice. Switch it up.
Yeah.
Well, for a level 10 feature, though.
Well, we talked about that with the last one. The last level 10 feature was you get clairvoyance, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of just like a mix-up a little bit.
Yeah.
More of a utility thing.
And maybe as we're looking at more barbarian subclasses, we'll see that's a common thing for level 10.
Yeah, because when you're a barbarian, like, you're scaling pretty well, like,
HP-wise.
And damage-wise, And damage-wise, you start to fall off. I think around level 10 is where you start to fall off to, like, the wizard or, like, the cannon class.
Everyone falls to full casters.
Yeah. So, like, you're going to kind of, you know.
Right.
Your level 20 is not as powerful as a wizard. It's just not.
No, it's just not.
You're still swinging the axe.
You're
doing it great. Yeah. You're doing it better than anybody. Yeah. But you're still, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, spells say lots of things.
They do.
Believe fucking me.
Final feature. At level 14 for the Wild Magic Barbarian, you gain the feature called Controlled Surge. Whenever you roll on the Wild Magic table, you can roll the die twice and choose from the two effects to unleash. If you roll the same number on both die, you can ignore the number and choose any effect on the table. I don't like this one.
Yeah, it's more of the same.
I don't like this one.
It's more of the same.
Well, you know what I want this one to be?
You're called a Wild Magic Barbarian, and the last thing you get is Controlled is in the name. That doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
You know what I want this to be?
Huh?
I want this to be, rather than you roll twice and get to choose one, fuck this. Like, this is your final feature. Roll twice and you get both.
Ooh.
But maybe that's overpowered. I don't know. But that's what I want
it to be. It's probably overpowered.
It probably is.
Still, yes. I mean, scaling-wise, this is kind of lackluster.
Yeah.
Also, it says I gripe with the controlled being in the name. It should remain chaotic in some way. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. But any questions about the Wild Magic Barbarian before we get into my character?
Nah, what'd you do?
Okay. So I'm not a big barbarian fan, despite the fact that I am rolling a barbarian in our next big campaign, which I'm very excited for. But Even on top of that, I'm not a big wild magic kind of person. I'm not into the chaos and the random tables. It's never just really been my bag. So I struggled for a little bit trying to come up with a character that I thought would be fun to
sure. roleplay as. Did you come up with like a one-shot guy like you were saying?
I came up with not a one-shot guy. This could totally be a character that you could run for a whole campaign. But I almost see this as more as a crazy NPC you might come across if you like take that left path and don't go the way that the DM wanted you to go.
I like that.
So
the fucking crazy fucking drifter in the woods.
Kinda. So my character's name is Kelnog Moog the Nilbogborn.
Yeah. The Nilbog's back, baby.
And yes, it's a goblin. And essentially, I didn't like type up a whole story for this character, but essentially this Kelnog's parents at some point piss off a Nilbogborn or piss off a Nilbog. Mm-hmm. Like whether that's like, so the whole thing with Nilbogs is like, if tyranny is getting out of control, the Nilbog comes to like shake that
shit. We should probably recap what the Nilbog is real quick.
So the Nilbog is, okay.
I remember the Nilbog.
So the idea here is that Mugluviet killed all the goblin gods.
Yeah.
And only one got away. And it was the trickster, the unnamed god of mischief.
Right. They're both goblin pantheon still. So there's two left. Mugluviet is goblin or no?
Mugluviet is the invader who rules over all the goblin pantheon.
Now. Yes. Okay.
And the only ones I think he left alive was like one of the hobgoblin ones and the two brothers who are in charge of the bugbears.
Okay.
And everyone else is murderized.
Right.
Except for this unnamed goblin god of mischief that got away. Mm-hmm. And the idea here is since Mugluviet's the god of like tyranny and all this other bullshit, when tyranny starts getting out of control amongst goblin kind, if like the goblins are being too oppressed, then this trickster god will transform one of these oppressed goblins into a whimsical, mystical, mischievous creature called a Nilbog.
Yeah, like the jester of the goblins.
Yeah. Well, the jester is the thing that they make in order to make a Nilbog not show up.
Oh, right. Yes. That's right. I did forget that part.
Right.
Nice.
So,
but it's like that.
But it's kind of like that. So the Nilbog then goes around undermining society and trying to end the tyranny just through zany, crazy, chaotic magic.
Right. They don't necessarily know the Nilbog shows up right away.
No, not right away. They will know
eventually.
Yeah. But the Nilbog's also not like this friend of the people person either. Like, right. The Nilbog causes chaos and mayhem everywhere
it goes. I'm trying to de-establish the hierarchy here.
Exactly. So my idea here is that Kelnog was probably originally born to a chieftain of a goblin tribe. And whatever this chieftain and or chieftainess did, it pissed off a Nilbogborn. Maybe they killed their jester because the jester pissed them off, and then the Nilbogborn Nilbog was born.
Yeah.
And the idea here is that the Nilbog is in retaliation for like the terrible things that these goblin chiefs did, mm-hmm. was blessed and or cursed, depending on how you look at it, their firstborn child,
right.
Kelnog.
Okay.
So Kelnog was cursed with Nilbog powers where that wherever Kelnog goes, chaotic stuff happens.
Nice.
Completely outside of his control. And even worse, like some of it is damaging and like a lot of these wild magic features we've been talking about. So this causes enough mayhem in the village where the village basically they depose the chieftain, build their own society, and they banish Kelnog as a child into the woods. You can't be here because you cause destruction and pain and you're dangerous.
Right.
So he gets banished off into the woods and has to live this hermetic lifestyle. Probably doesn't know how to read, barely knows how to talk. And he becomes this almost urban legend to the children in the village. He's Kelnog Moog the Nilbogborn. And they sing songs about him coming and eating the children.
Fucking funny.
Even though Kelnog Moog's not like that. Kelnog Moog's just basically this Sasquatchian creature that lives out there.
That becomes the boogeyman.
That becomes the boogeyman. And crazy stuff in the woods always does happen because Kelnog Moog is out there. But he's just eking out an existence like killing bears and eating them, you know, living there. He's probably actually living a dope life. I see Kelnog Moog like, because of his inherent power, he's able to eke out a pretty decent existence.
Yeah, he's like going to go druid it out in the forest a little bit.
But maybe at some point something ominous happens. Maybe there's a dark omen or maybe a plague sweeps through the village or something. And whatever it is, the village blames Kelnog.
Gotta go kill Kelnog.
So they drive him out of the forest and he's forced to leave.
Ooh, what if they burn that shit down?
Yeah, maybe they accidentally burn their own forest down. I don't know.
On purpose. It's the only way to kill Kelnog is to burn him to the ground.
So Kelnog Moog the Nilbogborn is banished off into the land and he has to become an adventurer.
That's great because you can write a whole bunch of cool songs with a name like
that. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I wanted to give him a very difficult to pronounce name because I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, but say also, it slow for me. Kalnog
Mog the Nilbogborn.
Kalnog Mog the Nilbogborn.
Yeah.
That's really fun to say. Kalnog I love this.
The Nilbogborn. But yeah. So that's my character. I mean, I guess we could go over stats.
Let's build more goblins.
Yeah. 16 armor class. I went dexterity with him, but then I was looking at rage and it's tied to strength. But I was like, fuck it. He's dexterous. Mm-hmm. So he's got a +4 to dexterity, +2 to constitution, +1 to wisdom, +1 to charisma for some reason. 40-foot walking speed, 77 HP. He's trained in acrobatics, athletics, nature, and survival. You know, he's got all the features we just talked about here. Did I give him a feat? I don't think I did, but I'm going to check just in case.
We also get stuff like brutal critical, I think, and like basic barbarian stuff. So your damage output is going to be really great.
I would want to build him in such a way where he probably fights with like daggers made out of like bones of his kills.
Doing like a two-handed thing?
Yeah, doing a two-handed thing. I know that's not optimal, but this is just how I imagine
it's
it.
It's actually
pretty
good.
He's dual-wielding bone daggers and he's dexterous.
At the early levels, the dual wield's not so bad.
Yeah, and I know that the rage boosts strength attacks, but if I was a dungeon master, I would be like, yeah, he fights with fucking dexterous daggers. Like, yeah, I'm going to let his rage boost his attack damage.
That's not a hard thing. Just, like, substitute the word strength with dex.
Yeah, I mean, the reason it is that way is because you could really break the barbarian build with a dex build. But, like, this isn't going to be broken. I would allow this. I just think it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, when you're going to do stuff like that and you want to maintain some semblance of balance, you need to incorporate that.
I did give him a feat, the dual wielder feat. So he would get a +1 AC
and he would
be able to do the full extra attack, not just the die, but the actual bonus as well.
I think Brandon Bobby did a bonus attack a lot without the bonus, mm-hmm. but it ended up really working out at the early levels, like I was saying, to get that extra swing in because you're really not – you're. It's going to help your damage output a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now he's exclusively like, he's got the extra attack. He's going to great axe.
Right. And then the last thing I'll say about Kalnog Mog is as a goblin, he gets two cool features. One, he gets Fury of the Small. Mm-hmm. Once per short rest, he can deal 8 extra damage to a creature that is a size larger than him. And he is a size small creature.
Nice.
So that's most creatures. So just an extra 8 damage. I think that's tied to a specific stat, but it's not listed here. And then he also has Nimble Escape. You can take the disengage or hide action as a bonus action on each of your turns. So he's a mobile little guy. And I think that Kalnog, in his heart, is kind, but he has been subjected to such harshness and poor treatment that he probably has aggression as his first barrier of defense to keep people back. But I like this idea of like a party taking him in and him slowly like...
Yeah, the Akatsuki.
Why the Akatsuki?
Oh, because you made a Naruto character. He's got a good heart, but then he gets broken and he joins the Akatsuki.
Oh my God. That's okay. That's just, you know, it's just an archetype. Anyways, I could see a party taking him in and like, you know, calming him, bringing him some calm and acceptance.
Yeah.
And I want a good life for Kalnog Mog, but who knows? I'll probably never play it. But anything you want to add to any of our barbarians before we get ready for our long rest?
I did take the toughness feat, I should have said, because for some reason my players really wanted a fuck ton of HP. Mm-hmm. And when one of them took it, the other had to take it because they fell out of scale.
It's true. They were.
It was like, this guy's boasting. I think I made a less powerful version of Brandon Bobby for this one because I was looking for the physical sheet, but I think it's somewhere else. But I put it together the way I kind of remembered it. And this is pretty close. I like deck stuff for barbarians because they get the spider sense and all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not optimal, but I think it's cool.
So. Yeah. Where did your HP land?
77.
I got 115. What level did you build to?
8.
Oh, okay. I built to 10. So there's a little bit off there. But yeah, the toughness feat is cool. Con is like something you're going to want to buff for your barb. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I would have landed in the upper 90s if I built level 10.
Okay. Yeah, I think I did something weird in mine. With the human, I took... he might have taken the variant human with like...
Oh, yeah. I guess we didn't really say he was human, did we?
I did at the beginning. Oh, okay. Human barbarian. But like I just barely mentioned it. But yeah, I took the +1 to all, just like as the basic. I think he might have chosen the...
I'm sure he chose the variant, because everyone does. It's better.
Yeah, I know he had toughness feat. I know he gets to reroll weapon damage, but I think that's just a normal barbarian thing. The reckless, not reckless,
No, he
Savage probably, Attacker, Brutal, something like that.
No, he must have took the Great Weapon Master or something like
Maybe
that.
Maybe he did do that. Yeah. That might be
Does he fight with a two-hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, then he took the great Weapon Master feat.
Yeah, he can reroll his weapon die and take the higher.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try and take with Akari, but we'll get into that another day. Okay.
It matters.
Yes, it matters a lot.
Definitely does way more damage.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, it's long rest time. Let's get ready.
Let's do it. Hey everybody, welcome to the long rest. We need this long rest for the long journey of building our beholder.
Yes.
Which is coming to a close.
We're doing it.
A new door will open as this one shuts on a new beholder. So be sure to catch us next episode where we will start building another 10 tentacled monster.
Today we're going to finish our first though, which I'm very excited for. So Brian, do you want to tell the audience what the final beam of this beholder is?
Yeah, Genki Dama and... It has to summon all the souls of the energy from the souls of planet Earth, and that's the final move. I'm just kidding. That's what Goku does.
Yes.
Now this one's going to be based off of the ancestral barbarian. It's going to be an augury beam, so it's going to when this beam fires and hits somebody, it's going to hit him in the head because that's where all the beams are going to land from now on.
Sure.
We'll get to that, and it's going to be. It's basically going to cast this, make the person experience the spell augury. It's going to like cast a spell on him, and it's going to tell him, it's going to force him to realize that fighting this beholder is a fucking bad idea.
Yeah, it's just going to tell them like weal or woe to fighting this beholder, and it's always woe for the most part.
You're gonna hear you're gonna hear one of your party members be like, "Whoa!" They're like, "Whoa, what?" It's like, "No, not like that. Like, bad idea, man. We gotta go."
So we got an augury beam for the final physical feature. We struggled with this one. We decided to make it wild magic based, and we decided to go with like the being infused with wild magic. And this beholder is to such a degree that much like the intangible spirit of the Flumfer Pixie, which explodes. There is a 1% chance when you encounter this thing and engage battle that this thing just fucking explodes on you.
This thing just explodes.
Yeah.
So roll a D100.
Yes.
On a 99.
This thing dies.
This beholder.
It kills probably everything else along with
this
it.
This beholder explodes and everybody dies.
Exactly.
Everybody dies.
Yes.
How often do we roll the D100?
No, just upon rolling initiative. Every time this thing fights, it's a 1% chance it explodes.
So you'll probably never see it because the fight will either end with all of you dying or it dying, but probably all of you.
Yes, absolutely.
And otherwise it explodes and everybody dies.
Yes. So that's its final physical feature is wild magic explosion.
Yeah.
And this beholder has been completed. It has 9 unique physical features. It has 9 specific eye rays, and we've seen some artwork done of it up to I think feature 6 and 7 somewhere there. Yeah,
thank you, Hobbleman.
And it looks strikingly similar to Cruella de Vil.
Yes, like, it does.
Very shockingly similar. It's like a beholder version of Cruella de Vil. So Brian's come up with a wonderful name. You want to tell our audience what we've named our first beholder, Brian?
Oh, Cruel Eyes. So we're going to call him Cruel Eyes DeVille.
Yes.
/ Headshot.
Yes, exactly.
That is the name of this moniker. Beholder. Yes.
Cruel Eyes DeVille.
We sat here for a while, like 10 minutes, like struggling to name this thing. Like really, really trying to hit him. But eventually we got there with much Googling and much brain power.
Cruel Eyes DeVille.
Cruel Eyes. Cruel Eyes.
Cruel Eyes.
Well, I guess, because it does have lots of eyes. So Cruel Eyes.
Cruel Eyes DeVille.
Cruel Eyes DeVille. You call him old Cruel Eyes or just Headshot.
Also known as Headshot.
Every time that beam hits, Headshot.
Indeed.
Headshot. You're going to hear that magically thaumaturged out.
So at this point, we've already announced the winner for our contest on Twitter and Instagram. We don't know that right now because we record ahead of time. But as soon as we do know, we'll be making the announcement here as well. So congratulations to our 2 winners for the books Candlekeep Mysteries. Hope you guys enjoy the adventures that are held within. And everyone stay tuned for the next contest, which we will be announcing probably in the next coming weeks or so.
It'll be for the new Ravenloft book.
Almost definitely, yes.
Yeah, and it'll probably have similar rules. As this one.
We'll see. We're playing around with some rule ideas.
Instagram might change. Twitter probably won't. I don't really know.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we'll announce that later.
But anyway, keep an eye out on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you will hear about it first.
Mm-hmm.
At the Dungeon Cast on Twitter and same on Instagram, the Dungeon Cast. There's not really an app thing for Instagram. Just the Dungeon Cast. We got those good. We claimed our name.
If you guys like what we do here, please leave a comment, subscribe. Please leave an iTunes review. That helps us a lot. Mm-hmm. Spread the word. Tell your friends. And until then, I think we could call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
We'll talk to you guys next time.
Goodbye.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.